संपदः कृतवो लोकाः महिषी भ्रातरो मही जम्बुद्वीपाधिपत्यं च यशश्च त्रिदिवं गतम्। स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी भगवान की, श्री गौर निताय भगवान की, चंदन यात्रा की, श्री विट्ठल रुक्मिणी भगवान की। I seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, so that I can speak something worthwhile for the purification of my own filthy heart. Here, the extraordinary fame of Maharaj Yudhishthira is being discussed, how it had spread even to the higher planetary systems. So in today's class, we'll try to discuss how fame comes in the life of a devotee and how a devotee tries to deal with it. And we'll see how Maharaj Yudhishthira sets an ideal example for us. Now, our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, I think it is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that Krishna is the only enjoyer and the only source of enjoyment. Very interesting, he says. The only enjoyer and the only source of enjoyment. And to the extent the soul accepts Krishna as the only enjoyer, to that extent Krishna becomes the only source of enjoyment for that devotee. In fact, all other sources of enjoyment are coming from Maya, they are illusion, as Prahlad Maharaj calls them, Maya Sukh. They don't bring happiness, they actually bring misery. Oh, at our stage, because we are not yet accepted Krishna as the enjoyer, we also have the enjoymentality. So Krishna consciousness doesn't appear to be such a great source of enjoyment for us. But still, the fact is that Krishna is the only enjoyer. And when Maharaj Yudhishthira has wholeheartedly accepted Krishna as the only enjoyer, then we will see how Krishna, we have seen how Krishna has become the source of such great enjoyment for Maharaj Yudhishthira. Fame is something which the people of this world are mad for. They are ready to die for it. But they don't get the fame. And even if they get it, it is finished very soon by the time a person dies. Actually, by the time a person struggles hard to make it top in the world and becomes famous, more than half of his life is over. And then he has to struggle to maintain his fame, and eventually he loses it. But a devotee who accepts Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, for him, Krishna becomes the supreme, the only source of enjoyment for him. And such great, when Krishna wants to give enjoyment, he can give unlimited enjoyment to his devotee. So everything that a materialistic person will hanker for, wealth, beautiful wife, very aristocratic relatives, sovereignty over the whole world, and so much that even the heavenly planet residents were wanting the association of Yudhishthira Maharaj and were waiting for him to come to the heavenly planets. So that is, for a pure devotee, the Lord gives him everything material. Also, he becomes the source of enjoyment for the devotee. At our stage, when we are practicing sadhakas, once there was one devotee, Jannivaspuru told his pastime, I forgot the name of that devotee. He was a very good kirtan singer. And so Prabhupada once appreciated him, your kirtan is so nice. So he told Prabhupada, he confessed his heart. He said, Prabhupada, I sometimes feel proud. And Prabhupada very nonchalantly said, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? So Jannivas Prabhu was explaining that this pastime can be misunderstood. There are philosophy manina manadena. But the point is, in the heart of the souls, there is the desire to do something glorious and to be glorified by others. There is pride within the heart. So what Prabhupada was saying is, better do something glorious in Krishna's service. And by doing something glorious in Krishna's service, that pride will become purified. Otherwise, if we don't do something glorious for Krishna, we will want to do something glorious in the eyes of materialistic people. And that will drag us down. And that was the glory of Vedic culture, that in Vedic culture, virtue was glorified. And so, if somebody wanted to become glorious, he would have to become virtuous. And that virtue, becoming virtuous, would also be good for his spiritual advancement. Unlike that, we see in modern society, virtue is not, maybe there is some namesake glorification of virtue, but actually it is sinfulness that is glorified. No. Basically, glamour means lust. The sexual appeal of a person, that is just called as glamour. Or, you know, just the greed of a person is called as ambition. So all this, in modern society, if we see the movies, which are what are kind of the ideal for most people, do glorify violence, sin. And that's why that has become the standard in modern society. And so if somebody wants to become great in the eye of materialistic persons, he has to become greatly sinful. And then he becomes, he's able to satisfy that pride. Of course, the pride can never be satisfied. But the Vedic culture was arranged in such a way that even if somebody wants to be proud, he has to do something virtuous. So Vedic culture engaged even in the false ego in devotional service. The false ego is a very great obstacle, but at least in the start, the false ego can be engaged in devotional service. Just like now we have the sadhana card system. But what is that? Isn't it? We all have the desire. Many of us were toppers and we want to get good marks. So now this system is there by which we can get good marks in devotional service. Isn't it? So that is actually something which is very good, because it makes us diligently follow the principles of devotional service. Unlike that in modern society, we see here Prabhupada talks about the attempts to barge to the other planets. That actually is considered to be the greatest triumph and pride of modern human society, that modern man has landed on the moon. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada very strongly said that they didn't go to the moon. But that, you know, breaking the laws of God, just like Ravana, he wanted to build a staircase and to go to ascend to the heavenly planet. So modern man is building a technological staircase. And he's using spacecraft to go to the higher planets. And that is considered very glorious. So in the Brahmanda Puran, one of the names of Lord Narasimhadev, very interesting, it is described. You can repeat this verse after me. Sarva mantraika rupascha. Sarva yantra vidarmaha. Sarva tantratmaka vyakta. Suvyakta bhakta vatsalaha. So it is described, sarva mantraika rupascha, that all the mantras are the form of that one Supreme Lord. That one Supreme Lord is manifested in the many, many mantras, like the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada said the Narasimha Mantra, Narasimha Arti we say. And then the next name is Sarva Yantra Vidaramaha. So Vidaramaha means destroy. So destroyer of all machines. That is one of the names of Lord Narasimhadev. So there, the translator, he explained that machines refers to demoniac arrangements. As we know, when there is Krishna, when Mayadanava offered Yantra Vidya to Arjuna, Krishna forbade him, don't take it, because this is the demoniac art. So Sarva Yantra Vidaramaha. The Lord, whatever arrangements, either the Lord will destroy the machines or through the mechanical arrangements, people try to become happy. Those attempts to become happy will be destroyed. So, Srila Prabhupada in general said that Sadaput Prabhu has classified Prabhupada's statements about the moon landing into three categories. Majority of the statement Prabhupada says that they just didn't go out of the planet Earth. And there are many modern movies and other things coming up which substantiate this point that they didn't go to the moon. Now, of course, India has launched this Operation Chandrayaan. They want to go to the moon. And following in the ignorant footsteps of America. But, so that's one thing that Prabhupada said. They didn't go out of the planet Earth only. And there is the Von Neumann layer out of which they cannot go. Occasionally, Prabhupada said that even if they went out of the planet, they didn't go to the moon. They were diverted by the demigods to some other planet. And they thought that they reached the moon. So actually, according to our Vedic cosmology, when there is Chandra Grahan, we say that Rahu and Ketu devour it. So basically, at certain points in the orbit of the moon, the Rahu and Ketu are also planets, and they are dark planets. Dark planet means they don't reflect sunlight. So we can't see those planets. So at certain points in their orbits, the position of the moon and the position of Rahu or Ketu coincide. So because of that, what happens is, we call it as Chandra Grahan. It's a lunar eclipse. So Prabhupada says that they may have gone to this Rahu. They may have diverted to the Rahu and they thought they went to the moon. And very few, one or two statements Prabhupada says, they might have gone to the moon, but they didn't access the moon. So here, he gives an example that somebody comes in the Sahara Desert in India, in this world. And he looks around and says, there are no people living in the Sahara Desert. He goes back and he says, there is no life on the earth. So of course, it's a simplistic example. And Sadaput Prabhu explains the principle that just as when the demigods come to this planet, they are higher dimensional creatures. They are higher dimensional beings. And so, we cannot perceive them with our eyes. Similarly, even if somehow by some mechanical arrangements, by some spacecraft, we go to the planet, the celestial body that we see in the sky called moon. Now, we cannot access the higher dimensional realm called the moon, Chandraloka. A simple example, just like if we draw a map of India. Now, on the map of India, say Pune is at one place and Mumbai is at another place. Now, the map is a two-dimensional representation of the three-dimensional reality of the topography, of the surface of the planet. Now, it is representative, but because it is lower dimensional, the reality is three-dimensional, whereas the map is a two-dimensional representation. So now, if I move my finger from Pune to Mumbai, have I reached Mumbai? I can say on the map I have reached, but actually I will not experience anything about Mumbai. There are so many people living, so much crowd, so much heat, and there is wonderful temples. Chaupati, Juhu, we don't experience anything in that. So similarly, we human beings, by our body and mind, are restricted to three-dimensional space. And so even if in this three-dimensional space, we travel out and reach the three-dimensional representation of the Chandra Loka, which we see as the moon, we will not access the higher dimensional reality there. So even if they went to the moon, which most likely they didn't, as Prabhupada very strongly says, they didn't access the moon. And that's why Prabhupada would say that life comes from life, there is a title, the billion dollar dust heap. We spent billions of dollars and went there, and what did we get? Some dust. And not only that, after getting the dust also, what did the scientists say? We are surprised that the dust on the moon is similar to the dust on the earth. Then what was the benefit of going there? But, see, because in Kali Yuga, vice is glorified. So this breaking the laws of God and as they say, conquering space. Of course, they didn't conquer space. No, illusion conquered them. And they think that they have conquered space. But this is what is considered glorious. But in Vedic culture, to be virtuous was considered glorious. And that is the start of devotional service. Now everybody wants to do something good, something that will be appreciated and praised by others. And Vedic culture, if somebody engages in devotional service, in transcendental practices, then that is encouraged and appreciated. That's why Srila Prabhupada said, what's wrong with that? However, that is the beginning. So when we move forward in devotional service, at that time, we have to become more careful. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes about the growth of bhakti as the growth of the bhakti lata beach. He says, so in our heart, the spiritual master has planted the bhakti lata beach, but from our own past karma, there is also the kama karma beach. So we have to check which beach are we watering. Now we may water the wrong beach and starve the desired beach. And if that happens, then say the desire for sense gratification, the desire for fame, if they choke our desire to serve Krishna, then that same thing can become the cause of our undoing. That's why once Srila Prabhupada was asking his disciples, he was saying, so what is the qualification needed to advance in devotional service? So generally Prabhupada writes in his purport, sincerity. So the devotee says, sincerity. Prabhupada said, yes, Prabhupada says, sincerity and intelligence. He says, of course, if we are sincere, Krishna dadami buddhi yogam tam, he will give intelligence. But still, we need intelligence in applying the principles of devotional service. So, especially to engage the things of this world in Krishna service, we have to be very cautious. Bhakti Vikas Maharaj writes in that Brahmacharya and Krishna Consciousness that as devotees we are expected to practice Yukta Vairagya. But he says there cannot be any Yukta Vairagya unless there is Vairagya first. So there has to be detachment. If the detachment is not there, then in the name of Yukta Vairagya, only the Yukta will remain. And then Yukta will turn into Bhukta. We'll start sense gratification. So we have to be careful about that. And the scriptures, they talk about how Krishna is merciful, but at the same time, they also caution us about how Maya is merciless. The Maya, she sees some small weakness in a sadhaka and she just attacks that. You know, a small desire to enjoy is there, and Maya just fans and fuels that, and then that can destroy the devotional creeper. We see Jad Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, he was so detached that he left home to renounce the world, renounced all the opulences that people of this world are mad for. But then he developed one compassionate attachment to a deer. And what was the result? To take two more births in the material existence. So Maya is, in that sense, very cruel. She says, of course, that is her service to Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, Maya is described as Vaishnavi Janamohini. So she is Vaishnavi. But what, as a Vaishnavi, what is her service? Janamohini, to delude all the living entities. So only the pure living entities she arouses to move forward. And as a devotee, she is very pakka in her service to the Lord. So when the Mahabharata war was going on, at that time Arjuna took the vow after the unfortunate death of Abhimanyu that next day I will kill Jayadrath or I will enter into fire. And then with Krishna as a charioteer, Arjuna was just blowing, marauding through the Kaurava army. And anybody who came in front of him, Arjuna was just destroying them. And at that time, Duryodhana became panicky. And he told Dronacharya, who was his commander at that time, he says, no, Arjuna is destroying our forces just as a farmer cuts off paddy. Now you are our commander. Please do something to save us. So Drona became very grave. And he said, the Pandavas have planned their strategy very well. Now while Arjuna has penetrated into our ranks, now all the other Pandava generals are attacking our other Kaurava generals. And so no other general is free. And he says, I, along with Karna and Ashwatthama, have to stand next to Jayadrath. Because soon Arjuna will reach Jayadrath. And we have to protect him. So then Drona smiled. And he says, I can see only one general who can stop Arjuna at this time. So Duryodhana says, who is that? He says, you, my dear child.
Duryodhana became shocked. He said, Acharya, he said, he folded his hands. He said, it may be possible for me to stop Indra in his tracks, but I cannot possibly counter Arjuna, and certainly not Arjuna, who is enraged by the death of his son. So Dronacharya smiled. He said, I know that, but I have some special plan for you. And then he told him, I have got a special armor, an armor that has been given to me by my father. I think it is Gautam Rishi, and that cannot be pierced by any weapon. And I will put that armor on you. And with this armor, you can stop anybody in the world, what to speak of Arjuna. So Duryodhana became very happy. And then Drona chanted the mantras. It was not a physical armor. It was a chanted the mantras, and the armor was put on him. It was a mantra armor. And then Duryodhana charged off, and he came right in front of Arjuna and Krishna, who were moving forward. So Arjuna was surprised to see Duryodhana standing so fearlessly in front of him. And Krishna also, of course, it's a lila, he said, oh, this son of Dhritarashtra appears to be bent on his own death. He's standing so fearlessly. And Duryodhana challenged Arjuna. He said, oh, Arjuna, you have shown your heroics against lesser warriors. If you have courage, fight with me and I will destroy your pride and your life today. So then Arjuna started shooting arrows at him. And all the arrows that were shot, they were just deflected. They just appeared to hit him, but they didn't hurt him. And Duryodhana laughed. And he said, keep trying your strength, O Arjuna. And when you are exhausted, I will show you my strength. And Krishna said, oh, Arjuna, what is wrong? This is a crucial moment. This is not the time to lose. So Arjuna started thinking. And then he realized, by the grace of Krishna, he says, oh, Drona has put this armor on him. And he says, with this armor, he is undefeatable. But still, oh, Krishna, by your grace, just see how I'll defeat him. And then Arjuna knew that this armor covered the whole body except for one part. Now that was the tip of the fingers, because he has to pick up arrows and shoot. There has to be some flexibility in the fingers, but the armor was not covering there. So Arjuna just took careful aim, and Duryodhana was fearless. He said, shoot, then I will kill you. And Arjuna took careful aim and shot arrows, and 10 arrows into the 10 fingers of Arjuna or Duryodhana. And they went straight into his body. And Duryodhana started dropping his bow and started jumping and screaming. And then when Kripa realized what had happened, Kripa immediately came there and challenged Arjuna, and Duryodhana fled. So the point here is that in a war, when there is a confrontation between the enemies are ruthless. Now, if they see any slight weakness, it is that weakness that is completely focused upon. So, this is Arjuna found that small weakness in Duryodhana's armor and focused on that. So, Arjuna is a devotee, and similarly, Maya Devi is also a devotee. And when she sees even the slightest weakness in her devotee, she focuses on that weakness. Now, whatever that weakness, she creates temptations in the devotee's life by which he becomes slowly more and more vulnerable. So even when a devotee is engaged in devotional service, sincerely practicing Krishna's message and preaching Krishna's message, even at that time, one has to be very careful about what is happening in one's consciousness. So if pride, lust, anger, greed, they start increasing, then we may be doing devotional service, but still Maya is weakening us from within. So, there is a real life story of one doctor in Kenya. His name was Dr. Kent. So, he was a very reputed doctor. And Kenya, as many of you know, is a poor country. So, there was one very terrible epidemic disease that was destroying thousands of people in Kenya. And this doctor was qualified to treat that disease. So, he went into that area where there was an epidemic and he started a hospital there. And he started saving many, many hundreds of people. And he became a national hero by that. Now, that disease spreads by contact with blood. So if a person who has that disease, say some blood falls off and that blood comes in contact with another person, then he gets infected. So he, just by his inspiration, many other people came and joined, and they were doing tremendous service. They were saving so many people's lives. So at one time, sometimes when this disease becomes very advanced, the patient becomes mad. So one time, one such patient started going mad, started shouting and screaming, and the nurses were trying to control him. But they couldn't. So it was late at night, so they went and woke up this doctor. And the doctor, in his haste, he just came hastily and he forgot to put on his mask and his gloves. And he went and he pacified that patient and saved him. But in the process, he got infected. And within 3 months, he died of the same disease which he was trying to save others from. So material nature is cruel. She is merciless. Not just in biological terms, but also in the terms in which we are trying to purify ourselves of anarthas. If Maya sees some weakness, if there is some carelessness, then Maya is very cruel and she capitalizes on that cruelness or carelessness. Of course, we see the other side, Krishna is merciful. And Krishna will give that devotee many chances to come back to his lotus feet. But still, the point remains that a devotee has to be very careful while practicing devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, another time was asked, Prabhupada, what is the most important qualification to go back home, back to Godhead? So Prabhupada replied, be convinced that this world is a place of misery and want to get out of this. So that actually is very basic philosophy. 7.14, Dukkhalema Shashvatam, so 8.14. But that conviction has to be there. Sometimes when, as we advance in devotional service, we start getting abilities, we start getting fame, we start getting many other things. So often we start thinking that this world is itself an enjoyable place, nice place. So that, if that core conviction is that this world is Dukkhalem and that we have to get out of it, then with that conviction we'll always be cautious. And of course our preaching means we are helping others also to get out of this world. But still, we have to be, make sure, as Prabhupada says, to save others is my mission. But a more important mission, he says, one letter is to save you. Prabhupada says, in one letter to his disciple, he's saying, to save others is certainly my mission, but a more important mission is to save you. So actually, we see this cruelty of material nature in many places. Actually, when we go, if somebody goes by air flights, I'd heard this in lecture, but first time I went, I saw that. But they announced that if there is an emergency, in the say there is some oxygen shortage or something, at that time, oxygen masks drop with this attached cylinder. And then the announcement is that if there is an emergency and if the oxygen masks drop, then first fasten it on yourself before fastening it on your child. Fastening it on your child. Why? Because oxygen is so crucial for us that a few moments delay, then we try to fasten it on our child and we are neither able to save him nor ourselves. So they say, so that's why we see material nature is very cruel and we have to be very careful in interacting with material nature. So, as we practice devotional service, you know, Krishna, he empowers, he blesses his devotees with many abilities, which also bring fame. It is inevitable. In fact, in devotional service, we see if we just stay for a few years, we become senior and we are respected. And if we do a little service, we are glorified. Isn't it? Actually, in material life, for someone to be respected and glorified takes many, many years to come to that position. But Krishna gives all this to his devotee. And of course, it is the devotee's sincerity and intelligence to be very careful in not being infatuated by this. So what happens is when we are practicing devotional service, we may get a little fame and then that gives us a taste which is not spiritual. And we may want it more and more and more. And then we start hankering for it more and more. And then devotional service starts becoming tasteless. So one has to. So here we see Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he had so much fame, but what was his consciousness? We see earlier only. He had just become the world emperor. But it's so amazing. Vaishnava psychology is very difficult for us conditioned souls to understand. Here he has just become victorious. He's conquered the whole kingdom. And now he's about to be enthroned as the king. And what is he thinking? He's thinking, oh, I caused so much bloodshed. It's so amazing how a devotee can think like this. We see Prahlad Maharaj also. No, he was the hero in the whole Narasimha Leela. Now, in the Narasimha Purana, it is described how Prahlad Maharaj, he faced so many dangers. Now, when he was put into fire, Shri Radha Kunj Bihari Bhagwan ki, Shri Gaunitai Bhagwan ki, Pad ki. So, when Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, he tried to get venomous serpents from Nagaloka to kill Prahlad Maharaj. And they were so venomous that what to speak of biting, just by the wind coming from their body, people would die. We know Kaliya was one sample. So when those venomous serpents came and they bit Prahlad Maharaj with their fangs, and what happened? Their fangs broke into pieces. And there where he got celestial elephants to crush Prahlad Maharaj. And two elephants came, they caught Prahlad and they pierced him with his tusks. And the tusks broke apart. And Prahlad Maharaj was unaffected. He tried to drown him in the ocean. And Prahlad Maharaj just floated and the ocean overflowed. He tried to put him in fire. And Prahlad Maharaj just stayed peacefully over there. And then finally Hiranyakashipu got so angry. He said, how is it that all these things are not able to kill you? So Prahlad Maharaj was so cool. He said, you're saying that how can all this kill me? He said, how can snake kill me? Snake is my father's bed. He said, you're trying to drown me in ocean, but the ocean is my grandfather. You are trying to pew me poison, but the poison is my maternal uncle. You are trying to...
So basically, I think all of us understand.
You are trying to... One more thing. Okay, anyway. So what is the poison? You know, in the Amrit Manthan was done at that time, Lakshmi Devi was born, and along with that, poison was born. So poison, he's saying, is my maternal uncle. The Bhagavatam describes that, you know, at that time when Lord Shiva drank the poison, some poison spilled off. And that poison was drunk by the snakes and serpents. And that's how they became poisonous. So for Prahlad Maharaj, Sarva Krishna Maya Jagat. You're saying you're trying to, you know, kill me with snakes, sir? My father's bed. Lord Vishnu lies on Anantashesh. You're trying to drown me in the ocean, but that is my grandfather. So he was so Krishna conscious that he was unaffected by all this. And then, when Lord Narasimha Dev came in front of him, he delivered Hiranyakashipu. Then what did Prahlad Maharaj say? Brahmadaya surgana munayota siddha sattvaikatam gatayo vachasam pravahi naradhitam urugunair adunapi pipru kim toshtu marati same harir ugrajate. Ugrajate. At that time, Lord has appeared personally for him, but what is he thinking? He's thinking, oh, I am born in a sinful family. So, I remember once when Chandramouli Maharaj was giving class and I was doing the service of translating. So one time when some question was asked and Chandramouli Maharaj forgot that there's somebody translating. So then he went on speaking for 25-30 minutes. And then he realized that translation is to be done. Then I tried to do the translation. And then after that, next morning Vrindavan Prabhu was there and he was telling, you know, he was appreciating that you were remembering so much. So it's very good. So then I just told, no, it's all Krishna's mercy. And then what he replied, I remember till now. He said, no, if you remember this, that is Krishna's greater mercy. So, you know, ability, as we advance in devotional service, we get abilities. So ability is the first installment of Krishna's mercy. But humility is the second and much more greater installment, much more important installment of Krishna's mercy. No, Krishna gives us abilities initially so that we become steady, we become happy in devotional service. But later on, we have to also develop humility. And if we get that humility, then we can become steady in devotional service. And we see, Chandan Yatra festival is there, Madhavendra Puri, he was so afraid of fame. When he came to know that all the people in Remuna are knowing that Gopinath stole the kheer for me, he fled from that place. But there it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that now, fame follows a devotee even if the devotee doesn't want it. In fact, not only did fame follow, but fame went ahead of him. And this fame had reached Puri even before he reached Puri. And then, of course, he saw that this was the Lord's arrangement and he used that fame to procure the Chandan and have it transported back to Vrindavan. Of course, the Lord arranged that it be applied to at Ramuna, Kirchor Gopinath. Similarly, we see Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, he was, in one sense, he appeared quite proud, but at heart, he was very humble. Now, he used the fame that he had got in Krishna's service. And when he came back to India, it was such a glamorous thing that he has this Indian Swami with foreign disciples. And at one time, when satsang program was organized, big, like Bhagavad Saptaha sort of big program was organized in Jaipur. So, two Mataji disciples of Prabhupada, they had gone to Jaipur to have darshan. And there, the Jaipur residents, when they saw that these Matajis have such devotion, they were very surprised. And then they talked with them and they said, what can we do for you? And they said, please get Prabhupada here. And then they arranged a big pandal program. So at that time, they did the pamphlets, and when Prabhupada came there, Prabhupada saw the pamphlet. He said, Bhaktivedanta Swami with his foreign disciples. Prabhupada got very angry. He said, why have you written foreign disciples? You should write American and European disciples. Now it may appear, because America and Europe are like the spiritual world for Indians. So Prabhupada wanted it specifically. So it may appear that Prabhupada is, you know, he's wanting his own glorification. But Prabhupada was very humble at his heart. You know, for preaching to the masses, he always took the leading position, because that was how he was engaging the fame. And he often said, there are so many foreign, I don't have to speak much. He would many times in lectures say that you can see how these foreigners have become devotees. So that is living. So he was in one sense proud of his disciples. There's one disciple, Prabhupada wrote a letter. He says, my chest swells in joy to have disciples like you. So my chest swells in pride to have disciples like you. So was Prabhupada proud? We see he was always very respectful in his dealings with his god brothers, especially those who were not envious of him. When the land, like we had this Bhumi Pujan, when the Bhumi Pujan of the Mayapur temple was to take place, at that time, you know, they had assembled and it was just like a wasteland. There was nothing there. And the devotees had arranged one chair for Prabhupada to sit. And they were all sitting on a chatai on the ground. And then Prabhupada's god brothers came. And Prabhupada said, bring chairs. And there were no chairs anywhere. And then I think it was Bhavan Maharaj who told, Prabhupada, there are no chairs here. So then Prabhupada said, no, we cannot start the program. And then they delayed the program for 1 hour. The devotees went all the way from there to Nadia, to Navadvip, and they got chairs. And after that, Prabhupada started the program. So we see Prabhupada was so respectful to his god brothers. So for the sake of preaching, he took a very aggressive position, which may be mistaken as pride, but he was very respectful. At one time, some of his god brothers, they criticized him, saying, why are you using the title Prabhupada? That is the title of our spiritual master. So then when they came to meet him, Prabhupada showed him his own letterhead. And on his letterhead, it was Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Prabhupada told them that, you know, it is my disciples who have given this name, Prabhupada, to me. I have not taken this name. If you see my own personal, Prabhupada would not sign any of his letters as Prabhupada. There it is. Your ever well-wisher, well-wisher, Bhaktivedanta Swami. So Prabhupada was at the core very humble. And that's how he could take the fame and he could use it in Krishna's service, as Maharaj Yudhishthir did. We see same with Maharaj Yudhishthir. Now, as soon as his service got over, Krishna left the planet. He also left the world and left his kingdom and renounced the world. So we have to pray to Krishna that we can properly practice devotional service and not get misled by all these anarthas, not water the wrong bijas. So it is described there, I'll conclude with this point. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, when the bijas are growing, so the other weeds that are growing along with the Bhakti Lata beach, both look identical. They look very, very similar. And for the sadhaka himself to identify which is the right bij is very difficult. And this is where the role of the spiritual master or the spiritual preceptor comes into the picture. So it is only he can tell the sadhaka that this is the Kama Karma Bija, this is the Bhakti Lata Bija, and which to water and which to starve. So we would have said that on the path of devotional service, Maya is like a thief who has come to plunder the wealth of our devotion. But the Vaishnavas are like the guards. They protect the wealth of devotion. So we have to take shelter of the Vaishnavas, their guidance, their instruction. That's why Vando Mui Savadhanamate. We always be very alert in following their instructions. And then we can advance steadily in devotional service. And as it is said, here that Maharaj Yudhishthir, the heavenly planets, the residents were eager to have him. He ultimately, according to Karmakanda version, he went to heaven, but ultimately he went back to the spiritual world. So I'll quickly summarize. Well, the first point was how Krishna is the only enjoyer and the only source of enjoyment. The devotee who accepts Krishna as the only enjoyer, Krishna gives him unlimited enjoyment, as he did to Maharaj Yudhishthir. So in the start of spiritual life, it is Vedic culture arranges, it engages the false ego in devotional service. We are given some abilities and we are appreciated and glorified for engaging those abilities in Krishna's service. But as we advance, we have to discriminate which bees am I watering. Just as Krishna is merciful, Maya is merciless. If a devotee is not careful, so we discuss three examples of Maya's mercilessness. One is Bharat Maharaj, the other was the doctor, and the third was the baby. Baby and parents on the flight. And of course, the story of Mahabharata. War means you find the weak points of the enemy. So same applies with Maya also. And then, how an advanced devotee can even use fame in Krishna's service, as did Madhavendra Puri and Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.